So are you ready
for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy Little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Buenas noches, familia. Soy Carlos Medina y aquí me tienes un domingo más listo para acompañarte a lo largo del Underground Garage en Rock FM. Esta noche, Little Steven nos propone despedir el fin de semana de una forma de lo más variada. ¿Qué tendrán en común James Bond, los Stones y el surf rock? Lo descubriremos a lo largo del show. Pero por lo pronto le damos la bienvenida a nuestro maestro de ceremonias favorito, al guitarrista de Bruce Springsteen, Little Steven. Lo hacemos con música. I Get Around, son de Beach Boys. Buenas noches, Stevie. Arranca el Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM.
Round, round, get around, I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
I get around.
Never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet. None of the guys go steady, 'cause it wouldn't be right to leave your best girl home on a Saturday night. I get around.
You know what that means, don't you? It's summer! Hot fun in the summertime. Hot time, summer in the city. Summertime and the living is easy. Ain't no cure for the summertime blues. The beach, the chicks, the hot rods, the hot dogs, the french fries, they sell. Oh, sorry. Surfing, baby. And who invented surfing, by the way? I don't know. Well, I know who invented surf music. Dick Dale, king of the surf guitar, invented surf music May 31st, 1958. And we're hearing it behind us right now. Remember, without surf music, there would be no surfing. What would be the point? He invented it on a Stratocaster, by the way. Not a Jaguar, not a Jazzmaster, and shockingly, without reverb. He kind of had to invent that later. But his first album, Surfer's Choice, had no reverb on it. He wanted something for his voice, so he pulled the delay tank out of a Hammond B3 organ and sang through it. Folks were much more inventive in those days. He would put his guitar through it later, but not on that first album, which sold 80,000. That's a lot. That's like 800,000 today. The historic moment took place at the Rendezvous Ballroom, which opened May 24th, 1928, on the Balboa Peninsula in Newport, California. It had a 64-foot soda fountain, a huge mezzanine and balcony, and it was set on 160 feet of beachfront property and held 3,000 dancers. All the big bands had played there in the 40s and 50s, but by the end of the 50s, it had hit hard times. So at that moment, this kid, originally from Quincy, Massachusetts, and his motorcycle club, the Sultans, They'd been hanging around the rinky-dink ice cream parlor where he had talked them into doing a gig. They'd gotten so popular there, they outgrew the place, so Dick Dale and the Deltones moved to the Rendezvous Ballroom, where the city of Newport Beach established some very strict rules for these new hooligan teenagers. The rules included no booze and a dress code, which led to the surfers attending in their bare feet with ties on. All hail the king, baby. Dick Dale, king of the surf guitar. Remember, no Dick, no surf.
Hi, this is Dick Dale, king of the surf guitar, and you're listening to Little Steven's Underground Garage. It is a very cool bitchin' place to be.
I'm gonna go back out on the coast, where the California girls are really the most. They talk, that talk, they twist like this, they shimmy, don't you hear me? Yes, they're out there having fun in the warm California sun. The girls are frisky in old Frisco. A pretty little misser wherever you go. They walk that walk. They talk, that talk, they twist like this, they shimmy, don't you hear me? Yes, they're out there having fun in the warm California sun.
Air cab, son. Air mobile. I can take that point and hold it just as long as I like, and you can get any place up that river that suits you, young captain. Hell, a 6-foot peak. All right, take a gunship back to the division. Lance, go with Mike, let him pick out a board for you, and bring me my Yater spoon, the 8-6.
I don't know, sir. It's
what is it, soldier?
Well, I mean, it's pretty hairy in there. It's Charlie's point.
Charlie, don't surf!
A one, a two, a one, two, three.
No more books and studies. Now I can stay out late with my buddies. I can do the things that I want to do. But all my exams are through. I can root for the Yankees from the bleachers. And don't have to worry about teachers. And I'm so glad that school is on. I could sing and shout. Everybody gonna have some fun.
You're back. You've got to go home sometime.
Why?
You can't spend the rest of your life on a surfboard.
Oh, yes, I can. The GI Bill of Rights says I get my old job back. This is my old job.
Like I said, Yankee, go home.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait.
All right.
I'm giving up, I'm giving up, I'm a foolish man for you. I'm giving up, I'm giving up, I'm a
Started Memorial Day with the Beach Boys' most important single, I Get Around, May 11th, 1964. Right in the middle of Beatlemania, it was make it or break it time. The Beatles had already put every 50s act out of work, but the Beach Boys would triumph with a number one single. We started our tribute to Dick Dale set with Victor, Dick Dale and Adele tones from Mr. Eliminator, which we're hearing behind us right now, the title track. I think Ennio Morricone was listening to that particular track when he invented the whole spaghetti western music, I tell you right now. that's just my thought. I'm sure Sergio Leone said, you know, hey, Ennio, check this out. Surf music. They can do cowboy movies in Italy. Why can't they do beach movies too? And the original version of California Sun. You never heard that before, did you? Joe Jones. Does the name sound familiar? I'll give you a hint. New Orleans. That's right. You talk too much, Joe Jones. Interesting cat. Came out of the Navy. Was B.B. King's valet. Ended up at Roulette. And would later discover the Dixie Cups. The Rivieras would have the hit. And we usually play the Dictator's version, but that was the original. Possibly Harold Batiste producing. We're still trying to figure that out. Gary U.S. Bonds, School Is Out. Okay, we're a little bit early on that one, but, you know, it's the spirit of school being out. That went all the way to number 5 on the pop charts, 1961. Hi, Gary, if you're listening. Written by Gary and sax player Gene Barge, Daddy G. Kurt Baker combo with Foolish Stuff. The album is Let's Go Wild. Get it from wickedcoolrecords.com. Paco Loco produced it. Kurt wrote it. Cool stuff. And the fabulous Jan and Dean, When Summer Comes, Gonna Hustle You. Hustle in a good way, I'm sure they meant. I'm not even going to go there now. Jan Berry and Brian Wilson writing that one. Brian's father, Murray, hated when he wrote with Jan Berry. With one less Beach Boys hit going to Jane and Dean. But we should remember Jane and Dean came first. I think Brian had a whole lot of respect for Jan Berry. It's Memorial Day, baby. Not that we need an excuse, but we're celebrating.
Sigues en Rock FM, en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Si hablamos de verano, es casi inevitable que nos venga la imagen de una playa a la cabeza. Y también es cierto que por ahí van los tiros. Esta noche, el guitarrista de Springsteen recordará los orígenes del surf rock. Para ello, es obligado hacer referencia al guitarrista Dick Dale, uno de los grandes pioneros en este género. Richard Anthony Monsur, que es su nombre real, nació en Boston un 4 de mayo de 1937 y ya de jovencito sintió interés por la música. Tanto es así que con 9 años empezó a tocar el piano y más adelante ya tocaría la guitarra. Se mudó de Boston a California y allí empezó a practicar surf. Dale tenía 17 años. De ascendencia libanesa, Dick Dale sintió gran interés por la música y los ritmos árabes. De hecho, junto a su tío solían tocar música en las fiestas señaladas que la familia celebraba, honrando así sus orígenes. Dick Dale siempre tuvo la inquietud de aunar sus grandes pasiones, que eran la música y el surf. Fue de ahí que Dale desarrollara un nuevo género dentro del rock, considerado o llamado como surf rock. En este punto, hay que reseñar que Dick Dale solía reventar con su sonido y volumen los amplificadores que usaba, y que además le suministraba a su amigo Leo Fender, hasta que un día Fender le presentó al ingeniero e inventor Freddy Avares, quien diseñó un equipo de sonido siguiendo las especificaciones que le dio Dick Dale. Pero bueno, tampoco me voy a enrollar mucho más, casi mejor que nos hable del rey de los de las guitarras surferas, el señor Little Steven. Dale, Stevie, todo tuyo.
Since it is Memorial Day, we must mention Henry Wells. 1865, Henry's a druggist in the village of Waterloo, New York. He mentions at a social gathering that honor should be paid to those killed in the Civil War by decorating their graves. Nothing came of it right away, but he brought it up a year later to General John Murray, the Seneca County clerk, and the whole town got into it. May 5th, 1866, they marched to the graveyard with military music and placed wreaths and crosses and bouquets on the veterans' graves, and they did it again a year later. The word started to spread, and the first commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, as it was called back then, General John Logan, established a National Decoration Day and made it May 30th. It was renamed Memorial Day and started to be observed for all the soldiers, not just those that served in the Civil War, in 1882. But it wasn't made a federal holiday until 1971, something I find hard to believe. And at that point, it moved to the last Monday in May. Waterloo is recognized officially by the government as the birthplace of Memorial Day. And it just goes to show you what one guy with a righteous idea can get done. Let's see what Rice Miller and Buddy Guy have to add to the subject.
Kind of love away. La, 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 la. I had a woman. She was not loved and kind of love away. But the little girl died and left me. I had a blues on every decoration day. Did the light where my baby had to say?
La, 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 la. my baby understand. Sonny boy, please bring me some flowers on every decoration day.
Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage. It feels just like my senior prom, only this time I might get lucky.
All men must have someone who never take advantage of the love bright as the sun. Someone to understand them, and you just may be the one. All men must have someone who'll never take for granted all the pleasures and the fun. Someone to stand beside them, and you just may be the one. I saw when you walked by, the love light in your eyes, I knew I must try to win you more than as a friend. I'm starting near the end, and here I go again. Someone to stand beside them, and you just may be the one. Someone to understand them, and you just may be the one.
My husband's been telling me a lot about you, Sergeant. He says you're very efficient.
Yes, ma'am.
What is it that makes you so efficient, Sergeant?
I was born smart, ma'am.
I love that. Well, goodbye, Sergeant.
Somewhere out of your jurisdiction. There was a sergeant with no neck. He might still be there. And he said, take off your clothes, wrap them in a ball, put them under your arm, put your shoes back on. In those days, we wore peg pants. You had to take the shoes off first. So now, stand there naked, with clothes under the arm, I'm looking for my shoes. See, I found one shoe right away, but I couldn't find the other one, and there's 1,500 guys naked. I ain't going to bend down and look for no shoes. And, I got another pair at home, and these had a wingtip. Let them go to the air call. I don't care. So now the sergeant says, line up, one in back of the other. 1,500 guys naked, one in back of the other. May I be last? Get in there. Right face, forward march. God, please let me walk as fast as everybody else. And nobody should stop short. That's the one thing I hate, it's a surprise.
Oh, I've got another girl. Another girl.
You're making me say that I've got nobody but you. But as from today, well, I've got somebody that's new. I ain't no fool and I don't take what I don't want, for I have got
another girl.
She's sweeter than all the girls, and I met quite a few. Nobody in all the world can do what she can do. And so I'm telling you this time, you'd better stop, for I have got
another girl, another girl who will love me till the end. Through thick and thin, she will always be my friend.
I don't wanna say that I've been unhappy with you, but as from today, well, I've seen somebody that's new. I ain't no fool and I don't take what I don't want, for I have got
another girl. Another girl who will love me till the end. Through thick and thin, she will always be my friend.
I don't wanna say that I've been unhappy with you, but as from today, well, I've seen somebody that's new. I ain't no fool and I don't take what I don't want, for I have got
another girl, another girl, another girl.
Well, it's a change in the ocean, change in the sea. Woke up one morning, was a change in me. Put on my pants, pants fell down. Well, I put on my shoes and they fell off too. I looked in the mirror, was nothing to see. That's how it goes when you're a shrinking man like me. Wearing man with a wearing song,
drinking man ain't gonna be here long. Sometimes I worry about clothes. Shrinking man's gotta look good sometime. Don't need no sweatshop chime. Putting shoes on my feet this time. Chained to a sewing machine. Down in hell where the sun don't shine. Look as good as you can. But please don't rob your fellow man. Shrinking man, nobody was worried by the shrinking man. Right sometime. I don't need much and I don't pay no starvation wage. The poor boy's out on a poison ground. You don't rob the land. Oh, when you're just that little old shrinking man. Shrinking man. Nobody was worried about a shrinking man. Shrinking man ain't gonna be here long. Well, sometimes I worry about prayer. Cause a shrinking man better be a praying man. Once I had a dream I was working. I had good ideas, I made big plans. I'm just like a leaf in the wind that's blowing. I hope King Jesus can understand. Shrinking man, nobody was worried about a shrinking man. Worried man, a worried song. Shrinking man ain't gonna be here long.
I'm sure Sonny Boy Williamson had Henry Wells in mind when he wrote Decoration Day, 1963. It's later than I would have thought, huh? Produced by Leonard Chess, Buddy Guy on guitar. Some Cool Monkeys from Mike Nesmith. You Just May Be the One, the third album, Headquarters, produced by the great Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart. But guitar player Mike would write and sing that one.
Taxi Driver. Billy Joe Armstrong's new band, The Long Shot. He'll be touring with Prima Donna as The Long Shot. He wrote it, produced it, played all kinds of things. Talented boy, that Billy Joe.
Another girl is the Beatles on the beach, which is the only connection I can think of. You remember that in Help? You do have Help, don't you? Go buy it right now if you don't. It's a great summer movie, written and produced by a stellar group of Royal Brits. Aren't they all sirs? Sir Paul? Sir George? I don't know. I know John gave his back, but the MBE thing, the member of the British Empire, whatever it was called, he gave his back. He's protesting something. I forget which. Vietnam, maybe. I don't know.
Shrinking Man's Ry Cooder from Prodigal Son, his first album in 6 years. Ry wrote it, and he produced it with his son, Joaquin. Get it from nonesuch.com/artist/ride-cooter.
It is Decoration Day. Raise a glass. for the comrades we have lost and can't be with us today.
Estás escuchando
Little Steven's Underground Garage en Rock FM.
Hola, soy Alex Clavero, el francotirador. Como cada mañana en El Pirata y su Banda, he vuelto a no dejar títere con cabeza. Pero sin faltar.
Nombres de bandas que lo mismo no sabes de dónde viene el nombre. Por ejemplo, Coldplay, que Coldplay, resulta que un compañero de clase les dijo el nombre, les gustó y se lo quedaron. ¿Qué dices? Sí. Vaya historia de mierda. Es un poco ingenio, o sea, le llega a pillar en Peñíscola y llama al grupo Arroz a Banda. Verte esa con tu Mars, la de Jared Leto, es porque lo vi en una conferencia de sobre los humanos, que dices, ¿cómo ha cambiado el mundo el rock,
Sí.
Te van a conferencias ahora. No pillas a Bon Scott con una conferencia. Está yo siendo de los suaves que ha suspendido la gira porque se está sacando el cap. ¿Sabes?
Mañana, a las 9 menos 10, estoy de vuelta.
Cada mañana de 6 a 10, rock y diversión en Rock FM con El Pirata y su Banda. Somos Rock FM.
Es imposible no acordarse de las enseñanzas de tu maestro. Atarte los cordones e ir bien vestido. Lo importante que es ser buen compañero. Y que con la comida no se juega. Así que no le digas adiós. Ven y dale las gracias.
Gracias.
Rock FM presenta Mi Tiempo, Señorías. La gira de despedida del maestro de Carabanchel, Rosendo.
Vamos con una cosa muy vieja y que conocéis casi todo.
Sus grandes canciones en directo, por última vez. Consulta tu fecha más cercana y hazte ya con tu entrada en rosendo.es.
Hasta siempre, si os quiere.
Esto es Rock FM y estás escuchando el Underground Garage de Little Steven, guitarrista de Bruce Springsteen. Dentro de poco se cumplirán 54 años de la primera visita de The Rolling Stones a Estados Unidos. Aquel acontecimiento tuvo lugar un 5 de junio de 1964, cubriendo un total de 11 conciertos. Los Stones venían de ofrecer su segunda gira por Gran Bretaña y llegaban a Estados Unidos para promocionar su primer disco. Parece que la gira no tuvo el éxito que esperaba la banda, de modo que enseguida se pusieron a trabajar en el que sería su segundo disco de estudio americano, el 12x5, basado fundamentalmente en versiones de otros artistas, aunque en él, también es cierto, incluyeron 3 canciones propias. Con aquel disco fueron presentados en el famoso show de Ed Sullivan en la televisión estadounidense. Aquella aparición, el 25 de octubre de 1964, sí terminó por impulsar la carrera de la banda por aquellas tierras. Todo tuyo, maestro.
The Rolling Stones landed in America for the first time, June 1st, 1964. 9 shows in 8 cities. That was a tour in those days. Their manager, Andrew Loog Oldham, was feeling the pressure of the Beatles' success to some degree. I mean, after all, if they were going to pretend to be their rivals, they better at least try and look like they're keeping up. So, the Beatles conquer America? Well, we better get over there too. Their first single, for us, was Not Fade Away, one of the greatest records ever made, and one that completely made me want to be in a rock and roll band. It was released March of 1964 and didn't do much. The album came out in May and didn't do much. And they came in June, which was too soon in one way. I mean, the Beatles waited till they had a number one hit. But to be honest, they did the right thing, because a lot of cool things happened in the 3 weeks they were here. First of all, the first person they meet off the plane is Murray the K, the wild 50s hipster, hustler, DJ, come 60s tastemaker. And at this point, they're meeting one clown after the other, and at first that's how they figure him, except he gives them the new Valentino's record, It's All Over Now, and tells them to check it out. I don't know if we'll ever be sure if he intended for them to cover it or not, but cover it they will. At their second gig, they started off in Santa Monica, I believe. The second gig is at the Texas State Fair in San Antonio, Texas. Can you imagine? I don't know how they lived through that one. They meet Bobby Keys, the sax player who would play the solo on Brown Sugar 7 years later, among other things. Bobby's playing with Bobby V and had previously played with Buddy Holly. So that was cool meeting him. Also on the bill were the Chiffons and Jay and the Americans and George Jones, who I'm sure loved meeting the Rolling Stones. On their fourth gig in Minneapolis, the Stones opened for the Rivieras at Big Reggie's Danceland Ballroom. So, you know, maybe things weren't going that great. I don't know. So Andrew Oldham is now getting a little bit nervous. He's figuring, what can I do here to save this rather desperate situation? He calls Phil Spector and has Phil Spector arrange for studio time at Chess Studios. He figures, how pissed off can the band be if, you know, I take them to where their heroes recorded? And that means Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry and Howlin' Wolf and, you know, like that, right? So that's what they did, June 10th and 11th. They recorded Chess, and stories differed, but one had Muddy Waters painting the ceiling, one had Muddy Waters helping them carry their amps in. And Chuck Berry dropped by, and I'm sure that really blew their minds. but it also inspired them to make, to this day, what is my favorite Stones album. They cut 15 songs in 2 days, including Confession of Blues and Around and Around and Empty Heart, and the song Murray DeKay had given them, which would be their first number one hit in England. It was the stuff that would become the 5x5 EP in England and the fantastic 12x5 for America Only album. And it started with this.
I said the joint was rocking, going round and round, yeah, reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound. And they never stopped rocking till the moon went down. Well, it sounds so sweet, I had to take me a chance. Rose out of my seat, I just had to dance. Started moving my feet, oh, the clap of my hands. I said the joint was rocking, going round and round, yeah, reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound. Suspect. And when the police knocked, those doors flew back. But they kept on rocking, going round and round. Yeah, reeling and rocking. What a crazy sound.
Jagger, the Rolling Stones, you're listening to Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Yeah. go to the beach today?
Oh, sure, right away.
In 20 years, he hasn't been in the water. Not once.
For me, it's no fun. You sit there, you get hot. You go in the water, you get cold. You come out, you get hot again. You call this pleasure?
But you used to be so crazy about the Turkish baths, remember?
Well, that's different. You go to the baths, you take your clothes off, you meet people.
Southern Pacific locomotive to look at the sunset over the Box House Hills and cry. Jack Kerouac sat beside me on a busted, rusty iron pole. Companion, we thought the same thoughts of the soul, bleak and blue and sad-eyed, surrounded by the gnarled steel roots of trees of machinery. The oily water on the river mirrored the red sky. Sun sank on top of final Frisco peaks. No fish in that stream, no hermit in those mounts, just ourselves, roomy-eyed and hungover like old bums on the riverbank, tired and wily.
Baby, here I stand before you with my heart in my hand, hoping that you read my mind. Hoping that you'll understand, yeah, babe. Can we make everything all right? You are meant for me, mama. I don't want nobody else. Well, baby, can we make everything all right? Oh, baby, can we make everything all right? You are meant for me, mama. I don't want nobody else. Yes,
is my confession, mama. Any song by all your song, it proved that I'm in heaven, mama, and you're holding on. That's the truth, baby. Don't you know I wouldn't lie? If I don't love you, pretty baby, well, I wanna break down and cry.
Is that a tear I see in your eye? This is your chance.
We started with the coolest record from the coolest album from the coolest band. Around and Around from the Rolling Stones, 12x5. I don't know how many Chuck Berry songs they covered. We never did count them. 8, 9, 10, I don't know. But can you imagine cutting that record with Chuck Berry standing there? Of course, when the Stones came back to America to do the Tammy Show in October, they would play that song with Chuck Berry on the bill. Courageous. Amazing stuff by the great Andrew Lug Oldham. Very underrated by those who are ignorant of the production process. But he ain't underrated around here. You dig?
Haunt Me is Death by Unga Bunga. Their new one is their fifth album, So Far, So Cool. Get it on Jansen Records. They wrote it and they produced it.
We went back to 12x5 because I could not resist playing Empty Heart, one of my favorite tracks. And we followed that with the original version of Confession the Blues. The Stones would do a fabulous version of it on 12x5. I think it was Luther Tucker playing the lead. Jimmy Lee Robinson also playing guitar. Oh, I didn't mention Little Walter, of course. It's his record. Yeah. But Walter wasn't the first Walter to do it. Originally done by Walter Brown and Jay McShann, they wrote it. BMI has it incorrectly listed as a Little Walter Jacobs composition. Singer Walter Brown and band leader Jay McShann wrote it and recorded it in 1941. But the Stones got it from Little Walter, the greatest harmonica player that will ever live. And what's interesting is, I think, Keith copying Luther Tucker's tone and licks, while Luther Tucker was kind of copying the trumpet tone of Bernard Hartwell Stepbody Anderson. Jay McShann, of course, known for, among other things, firing both Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker. Not at the same time, but presumably for the same reason. You guys are playing too many notes.
Soul Fire, title track from Little Steven's new one, revisiting his soul roots. Go to littlesteven.com, tell you all about it. And we'll be back with our coolest song in the world this week.
Detenemos los motores del Underground Garage para disfrutar de uno de nuestros momentos favoritos del show. Es la canción más chula de la semana. Para ello nos vamos hasta Los Ángeles, donde nos encontramos con el dúo de Red Button, quienes debutaron en 2007 con el álbum She's About to Cross My Mind. Recordamos ese primer disco celebrando la canción más chula de la semana. Es Oh Girl. Dale, Little.
Our coolest song of the world this week comes from Manchester by way of L.A., and this is a very cool idea. Please welcome to the Underground Garage stage, The Red Button, featuring Peter Noon.
I knew, ooh girl, o'clock I hear a knock. She breezes through the door and throws her hat on the sleeping cat and curls up on the floor. Ooh, girl, where are you going? What will you see? Ooh, girl, what do you feel for me? Ooh, where are you going? What will you see?
Culture lovers, this is your pal SpongeBob SquarePants asking you to support the rock and roll troops this Memorial Day by giving a 21-gun salute to Little Steven's Rock and Roll Garage. Salute!
Never like nobody. Been mean to me. I've got a heart full of stone and I hate the misery. Then you came along
into my life, destroying me more, mounting up the toil and strife. But I'm a fool boy, I'm a fool. In my heart, and you know it's true, but I'm a fool.
How bad is it? The truth.
You're gonna be okay. You lost a lot of blood, but we found most of it.
Yeah. This just arrived.
Oh, carp. How thoughtful. Fish sticks for everybody.
No, Pop, it's a message. Oyster Jimmy sleeps with the fishes.
Well, I hope he's using your protection. Good-looking fella like that could have any woman he wanted. Present company included.
Roses, they can't hurt you. No, the roses, they
started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, Ooh Girl, from The Red Button, who all you garage listeners are familiar with, and Peter Noon, who everybody is familiar with as lead singer of Herman's Hermits. A very good idea. I love combining new artists with our mentors. Written by Seth Twersky and produced by Seth and Mike Rookberg for Gem. Get it from gemrecordings.com, Gem with a J. This is a very, very cool idea, and I hope it catches on. One reason why we started the Wicked Cool Record Company was to do just that, combine all the classic 60s legends with the new bands, the great writers of the 60s and producers, and connect them up, which has been done only a few times. Richard Goddard comes to mind working with the Raveonettes, and Raining Sound working with Mary Weiss. Anyway, a very cool idea and a very cool record. Ooh Girl, our coolest song in the world this week.
Back over to Chicago South Side for Paul Butterfield Blues Band, Love Disease. That was Paul in his big band era, late 60s. Keep On Moving was the album. And produced by the great Jerry Ragavoy. Absolute legend. What a fantastic band Butterfield put together in those days. Dave Sanborn, Trevor Lawrence, Steve Maddeo, Keith Johnson on horns, the great Buzzy Featon on guitar, Gene Dinwiddie, Ted Harris, Fred Beckmeyer, Rod Hicks, Philip Wilson on the drums, and Jerry Ragavoy playing some piano as well as producing. The Impressions' greatest record, Fool For You, written and produced by the great Curtis Mayfield, one of the most talented cats in history. What a tragedy it was losing him, especially the way we lost him. The lighting rig collapsing in the wind here in Central Park. An incredible loss. Curtis Mayfield, Fred Cash, and Sam Gooden, the Impressions at that point in 1968. The Jeanettes, with the fabulous Sally Go Round the Roses. Tough Records, 1963, a subsidiary of Chess, written and produced by Abner Spector. The Jeanettes with Justine Washington, Leslie Valentine, Marie Hood, and Louise Harris Murray. Cool record, right? When we come back, we're going to Jamaica, baby.
Esto es Little Steven's Underground Garage. Volvemos en un segundo. En Rock FM.
¿Sabes el típico día en el que piensas que habría sido mejor quedarse en la cama? A ellos les pasa a menudo.
Tengo agua.
Qué horror esto.
No
esos,
tengo agua.
Esos whisky.
Vaya hombre, con tanto jefe escuchando ahora el programa.
Cada mañana de 6 a 10, rock y diversión en Rock FM con El Pirata y su banda. Somos Rock FM.
Thank you.
negocios ya no son lo que eran.
¡Selfie!
La gente ha cambiado. Y aunque hayas soñado con otros lugares, ninguno te conoce como la ciudad que te vio crecer. Por eso, cuando toca celebrar, no hay nada como hacerlo en casa. Rock FM presenta Loquillo, 4 décadas de Rock and Roll Actitud. Celebrando una vida sobre el escenario en su concierto más emotivo y especial. 14 de diciembre en el Palau Sant Jordi de Barcelona. 4 décadas del loco, 4 décadas de Rock and Roll Actitud. Ven y vívelo junto a él. Entradas ya a la venta en loquillo.com.
Barcelona ciudad.
Seguimos despidiendo el fin de semana al ritmo que nos marca Little Steven en el Underground Garage, aquí en Rock FM. Mañana se celebra el 110 aniversario del nacimiento del señor Ian Fleming. Fleming estudió en la Real Academia Militar de Sandhurst y trabajó como periodista para la agencia Reuters. Alcanzó también el grado de comandante durante la Segunda Guerra Mundial. Tras acabar esta, Fleming trabajó como periodista y además colaboró como asistente para los servicios secretos británicos. Fue gracias a todas estas experiencias a través de las que creó a su célebre personaje, James Bond. 12 novelas y 9 cuentos sobre 007 dieron paso a una de las franquicias más famosas y longevas del cine. Ian Fleming falleció un 12 de agosto de 1964 y poco antes de morir visitó el set de rodaje de la película Goldfinger, la 7ª novela que publicó de James Bond. Le recordamos esta noche aquí en el Underground Garage. Gracias, maestro.
Ian Fleming was the family loser for quite a while, with a super rich grandfather, a war hero father, and an academic and athletic star brother. He tried to join the Foreign Service, but failed the test and ended up a writer for Reuters, then a banker, and then finally he found a home working for Naval Intelligence, becoming a lieutenant, then a commander, as a right-hand man to Britain's top spymaster, Admiral John Godfrey. He was soon carrying out missions in World War II and was known for his sophisticated flair and love of good food, wine, and women while carrying out the most ingenious and complicated tasks. During the last year of the war, he went to Jamaica for a naval conference and fell in love with the place. He designed and built GoldenEye on the North Coast, and for 6 years spent every winter there, enjoying the weather, rum, and of course the women. Then one day, he got a married woman pregnant and decided at the age of 44, maybe it's time to grow up. While waiting for her divorce to become final, he wrote the first draft of a novel called Casino Royale. For the next 12 years, he would enjoy the worldwide success and deep respect of serious writers for writing about a guy named James Bond. In fact, an exaggerated version of himself. But the smoking, drinking, and rich food would take him from us in 64, at the too young age of 56. But he lived to see Sean Connery bring his creation to life and ended up liking him quite a bit, even though he wanted his neighbor Noel Coward to play Dr. No in the movie. And his first choice for Bond was David Niven.
Kiss of death from Mr.
the Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He loves only gold. Only gold. He
Good evening, 007.
My name is James Bond.
And members of your curious profession are few in number. You have been recognized. Let's say by one of your opposite numbers, who is also licensed to kill. Oh, that interesting car of yours. I too have a new toy, but considerably more practical. You are looking at an industrial laser, which emits an extraordinary light not to be found in nature. It can project a spot on the moon. Or at closer range, cut through solid metal. I will show you.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger.
Number and taking away.
Forgive my not shaking hands. It becomes a bit awkward with these, a misfortune. You were admiring my aquarium.
Yes. It's quite impressive.
A unique feat of engineering, if I may say so. I designed it myself. The glass is convex, 10 inches thick, which accounts for the magnifying effect.
Minnows pretending they're whales. Just like you on this island, Dr. No.
It depends, Mr. Bond, on which side of the glass you are.
Such a lady, I think I'll be your daddy today. Hi, this is Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, and you are with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, a very cool place to be.
We started our Ian Fleming tribute with the greatest movie song ever, as far as I'm concerned, Goldfinger. Music by John Barry, who did most of the great James Bond soundtrack stuff. And lyrics by Leslie Bricusse and Anthony Newley. Top 10 in America and did not chart in the UK. How is that possible? Shirley Bassey, by the way, doing that amazing vocal. Goldfinger, the third of the... what most people consider the great three James Bond films, the first three, with Sean Connery, of course. Johnny Rivers. Johnny was the house band at the Whiskey A Go-Go, when Elmer Valentine invented the Go-Go Girls. The great Lou Adler producing that one, and written by the legendary writing team of P.F. Sloan and Steve Barry. It was a TV theme song, did I mention that? Starring Patrick McGoohan, and it changed the name for America. It was like Danger Man or something. Equally stupid. Secret Agent Man. Actually, Secret Agent Man is a pretty stupid title also, but the song sort of made it cool. Yeah. The ghost of James Dean is Ryan Hamilton and the Traitors. New album, Traitors Club Year One. Dave Draper producing. Ryan wrote it. Get it from RyanHamiltonandTheTraitors.com. How about that very cool Summertime is Surfing Time? As we cross the finish line and get back to Memorial Day. By the Surf Bunnies, produced by Gary Paxton. Now, the story is that the Surf Bunnies were actually the Fashions, an R&B act getting in on the surf craze. But I swear that sounds like Darlene Love singing lead to me. I'll do a little more research on that one. It's from Beach Party, the Garpax Surf and Drag Collection. William Powell writing that one. And Gary Paxton producing, I think I mentioned. And yeah, the beginning of summer means the Beach Boys. Girls on the Beach, sort of like the deluxe version of Surfer Girl. Yeah, starts off with the same melody and then goes into those other key changes. And just an amazing composition by the great Brian Wilson. Mike Love writing those lyrics. And Brian, of course, arranging and producing it for their sixth album, All Summer Long, in 1964. having done 3 albums a year for 3 straight years, right? 63, 64, 65. All but one of which went gold. Amazing, really. You know, 9 albums in 3 years. And great ones, yeah. So, okay, baby. Much to our relief, summer begins.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank the Hard Rock cafes, hotels, casinos, and the Seminole coolest Indian tribe ever for being our sponsor from day one. And I want to thank all of the Hard Rock employees around the world as we stop in and do our DJ thing when we're on the road. Nicest people in the world, in addition to the best food. And someday will be a rock and roll circuit. I'm never going to give up on that. We want to thank Premier Networks, our new syndicator, Julie Talbot, Rick Bucchietti, Tanya Juhasz, and Corey Neal. Forgive the pronunciation. I'll get it right eventually. And if you're in need of any guitars or amps or tambourines, go see Andy Babuk. I want to thank our... Is Intrepid the word? Or is that an aircraft carrier? Dennis Mortensen, who puts the show together every week in spite of the odds. Go to undergroundgarage.com if you've missed any of our last 750 shows. And Facebook and Twitter and at Stevie Van Zandt. You can talk to me personally. And thank you, Alan Freed. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment.
Bueno, familia, hasta aquí el Underground Garage de esta noche. Un programa movidito e interesante en el que hemos recordado esa primera gira por Estados Unidos de los Stones. También al célebre escritor Ian Fleming, que escribió su personaje basándose también en su propia experiencia y música. Mucha música hemos disfrutado. Yo soy Carlos Medina. El domingo que viene a las 10 en punto, aquí nos encontramos en el Underground Garage. Un abrazo. Feliz semana.